Hello, this is Pastor Tom Pickens of Antelope Valley Christian Center, and you are listening to The Word of Victory. In Proverbs chapter 19, and while you're turning there, I would just like to say that the scripture, John chapter 3, verse 16, which we'll probably be referred to several times, that to me is the greatest scripture in the Bible. Amen. It is, I believe that it is the most important scripture in the Bible, and therefore it makes it the greatest, I believe. But I don't know if you stop to consider the fact that God gives us the ultimate example of forgiveness when he sent his son Jesus to the cross. I say when he sent his son Jesus, but actually when Christ, as the Word of God, agreed to come down and take upon a body and die for the sin of all mankind. How many of you know that you have been justified by the blood of Jesus? And you know what? You don't have to do anything in order to receive Christ. You don't have to stop doing anything in order to be saved. You don't have to, you know, do any penance. You don't have to, sacrifices and sackcloth and ashes and all that kind of stuff. All that was under the law. How many even know that when the Lord Jesus Christ came, that he fulfilled the law? Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. Everything that the law required, Jesus came and fulfilled it, but he didn't fulfill it for himself. He fulfilled it for you and I. And we get in on the work that God did on the cross. I think that's great. I don't know about you, but I realize that, you know, that God only had one son, and when he gave that one son up to down the cross, I can't imagine how God felt. I mean, he had to turn his face when Jesus was being crucified. The Bible says that although it was high noon, it was about 3 o'clock, and where it should have been brightest day, the whole earth was darkened because God could not look upon his son being crucified, but he did it anyway. He crucified Jesus, or Jesus was crucified, and he gave him up to be crucified. And when he did that, he was actually saying that he has forgiven mankind. And the Bible does say that. The Bible says that God has forgiven us while we were yet dead in our sins and our trespasses, that God still sent Jesus Christ to the cross to die for us. Now turn to someone and say, now you know that's love. You know, it's love. It's love to give up that which is most important to you. It's love. It is a sign of total surrender. It is a sign of commitment when you give up the most important thing to you. And the most important thing to God was the Son, Jesus Christ, but he gave him up for you and for me. And it all hinges on and it surrounds the principle that God has enunciated throughout the Bible. And that's the principle of forgiveness. Amen. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Well, it says should not perish because you don't have to perish. There are people today that are perishing and they don't have to perish. They don't have to perish because God has forgiven them. God has already sent Jesus Christ to the cross to die for everybody that is willing to come and accept him as their sacrifice. Then their sins are forgiven. They don't have to stop drinking. They don't have to stop smoking. They don't have to stop lying. They don't have to stop cheating in order to come and receive what God has done for them. You did not hear me say that it's all right to do that. You didn't hear me say that, did you? Absolutely not. But here's the thing about it. So many times we tell people, you have to stop doing this. You have to stop doing that. You have to stop doing the other in order to come and receive the Lord. You would need the Lord if you could stop doing those things yourself. The reason that we need the Lord is to accept his forgiveness and then receive his ability and his grace in order not to live that kind of life. And then in the quest of living a perfect or mature life in Christ, we are still going to make mistakes. We are still going to miss the mark. We are still going to come up short from time to time. Now, I don't believe that anybody wakes up trying to figure out, now, where can I come up short at? No, it's just human nature. It's just that we are not perfect. And that's all right, because God will forgive us. But we don't wake up saying, you know, let me see, where could I come up short today? Where can I, you know, commit a sin? Because I know God will forgive me. That's not being truthful. That's not being a genuine individual. Amen. And so I just want to minister to you this morning on the forgiveness of God, walking in forgiveness, that if God could forgive us for the greatest treason of mankind, and it was the greatest treason that man could ever do, and that was to disobey God in the garden. Adam disobeyed God, and because of that, it catapulted the entire human race into outer darkness. In other words, hell was not made for us. Did you know that? God did not make hell for us. God did not make hell for mankind. God made hell for Lucifer and most theologians believe, one-third of the angels that rebelled against him. That's who hell was made for. But when man sinned against God in the garden, then now man's only place was to go to hell. Now you can see why it is that the Bible says you must be born, what? Again. I'm quite sure that that statement hasn't really meant much to you other than the fact that you need to get close to God. But if you make the statement, you must be born again, that's indicative of the fact that you had to be born somewhere else before. Or you wouldn't have to be born again. So where were we born before? We were born in Adam and in Eve. All of us came from Adam. We were caught up in the loins, if you would, of Adam and Eve. And they were innocent before God. This dispensation is called the dispensation of innocence. They were innocent before God. And in the book of Genesis in chapter 3, and you'll see there, if you read it, you'll discover that the Bible says that the serpent came in the garden and he beguiled the woman and she ate or partook of the tree, whatever kind of fruit it was. Didn't say it was an apple. I don't know why people do that. You know, it was fruit, whatever it was forbidden for them to do. And she took up the fruit and then she gave it to her gullible husband, Adam. Amen. Which should not have eaten of the tree, because Adam was the one that God had given the authority to. And Adam was the head of his household. That tells all of us that the man is the head of the house. Preach it. What you did not hear me say is that man is the boss. Man is the head of the house, and he runs everything in the house. The washing machine, the dishwasher, the the lawnmower. No, but God has said that man is the head of the house, in that he is the head, domestically speaking, he's not the head of the wife. God, Jesus Christ is the head of the wife, and amen. And let's not get carried away with this fact that I'm the head of the house. Because that simply means that God has given you a level of responsibility. Yes. And that he's going to hold you accountable for that. Just like he held Adam accountable for what he did. And because of what Adam did, now all mankind has to be born again, because we died in Adam. We died in Adam. We died from a state of innocence, and we became awake or born again. We were born into consciousness. Adam was conscious of the fact that he was naked after he sinned. He fell from innocence and became conscious of the fact that now I am naked. Were you naked before? What have you done? And that's where we all died in Adam. So if you die, you must be what? That's why you must be born again. That's why we tell people you must be born again. Jesus has come and he has fulfilled the requirements of the law that God required mankind to fulfill, but mankind could not fulfill those requirements in totality. God knew that. The law was given not to bring man to a state of perfection. The law was given in order to show man that he was a sinner and he was in need of Jesus Christ. He was in need of a savior. That's why the law was given. So Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the law. And God said, that now I will send Jesus Christ because I so love the world. Love is an action, is it not? I say love is an action, is it not? All husbands should know that. If you don't know that by now, you've been married for some time, you need to go back to school. Marriage school. Because love is an action. If you tell your wife you love her, she's looking for a... And she's looking for more and more and more. That's right. More action, more action, more action. Isn't that right? In the book of Proverbs in chapter 19, and starting to read there at verse 11, the word of God says, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Someone transgress against you, pass over it. Don't get stuck on it. Don't get all uppity. Amen. You know, let's learn how to forgive one another. Thank God that we have people in this church that know how to forgive. Amen. That it's not all about you. It's about Jesus. It's about sharing the love of God. It is about sharing Jesus Christ. And not just sharing the love of God to your fellow Christian in church on Sunday morning. I mean, you know, what is it for you to do that? That's easy for you to do. It's Monday morning. It's Monday morning when you go to work and you sit next to that ungodly supervisor or whoever it is you're sitting next to. And they're giving you a hard time. That's the person that you've got to show Christ to. That's the person that needs Christ. That is a person that must know that it really doesn't make any difference what they've done to you, that you're going to forgive them and that you're going to act like it was never done. Amen. Oh, I've been there. I'm telling you what I know, not just, you know, preaching. I'm not just a preaching this. Amen. As the old preacher would say, I'm not just a preaching this. This is biblical. I have walked down that road where I have had to say, you know, I'm sorry, forgive me, when it wasn't even my fault. But wait a minute, what's the bottom line? Who do we want to exalt here? Jesus Christ. If God forgave me, then why should I not forgive someone else? Even if they're wrong, that's all right. It's easy for me to forgive someone that knows they're wrong. But how about somebody that doesn't know they're wrong and they're wrong anyway and they're accusing you? That's when the flesh rises up. That's when you want to say, you know, no, I'm not going to take this. What if Jesus has said, no, I am not going to take this. Get me off of this cross. We would all be in a bad situation, wouldn't we? Proverbs in chapter 24, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 28 says, be not the witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. Somebody does something to you and you want to find, you know, a reason to accuse them of something, or you want to go with somebody else and witness against them because they did something, they offended you. No, why not just forgive them? Why not walk in forgiveness? You are the bigger person. You are the one that is saved. You are the light of the world. You are the little Christ. You are Jesus walking in the flesh. That's who you are. You are the example of Jesus Christ. How can people around us know that God is real except through you? Because, see, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. That's where Jesus is. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is in the earth realm. The Holy Spirit works through us. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us in order for Christ to be seen in us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is a remarkable scripture. It tells us, it says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then it says, and you shall be witnesses. Yes. You shall be witnesses unto me, where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. The known world at that time, Asia, Asia Minor, and all the other areas. So, I mean, if you go to... If you're going to look at that in a contemporary sense, we'll say, well, and you shall be witnesses unto me in where? Lancaster, Palmdale, you know, Santa Clarita, you know, Acton, and Los Angeles, and New York, and Chicago, and Japan, into the uttermost parts of the world. Well, how am I going to be a witness? I'm going to walk in forgiveness. I can start in my own Jerusalem, which is where I, in my own home. Learn how to forgive in your own home. We have relatives that are walking around in the same house, not forgiving one another. Something is wrong with that. You've got to start in your Jerusalem. Your Jerusalem is in your backyard. Learn how to walk in forgiveness. And I'll tell you, it's the most gratifying thing to do is to forgive somebody and notice the response that you get from them. Most of the time, people know they're wrong anyway. They're just being defiant. They know that they're wrong. And when you forgive them and they know that you know that they are wrong and you forgive them and walk in forgiveness with them, then that really speaks volumes to them. Amen. And, I'm thinking about a lady now that she had a back problem. This is years ago, before I was even pastoring. I would take, opportunities to minister at different places. And this just happened to be a lady that had a nursery. She took care of little kids, like preschool age. And so she would ask me, she had all the parents to come like on Wednesday nights. And she asked me to come and to teach them. So I took advantage of every opportunity I could to come and teach the word of God. So I said, yeah, fine, no problem. I come. So every Wednesday I came to this nursery and I taught the parents of these little children. I just did a Bible teaching for them. And so anyway, this one night I was teaching, and as my custom was, I would always ask if there was anyone that, that needed prayer, And I happened to be teaching on forgiveness that night. And so the lady, she came up to me and she said, actually, what happened is that after I taught the message on forgiveness, the next time that I was there, this lady came up and she said, you were here last week and you were teaching on forgiveness. And I said, yes, I remember that. We did discuss that. And she said, well, I went home that night, she said, because I had something against my neighbor and I had been carrying this forgiveness. So she had been carrying forgiveness in her heart for a long time. Let me tell you something. When you harbor forgiveness in your heart, most likely the person that you're harboring it against, they don't even know about it. And it's not even bothering them. Guess who it is bothering? It's bothering you. It's hurting you. And so anyway, she said that she went home that night and she went next door. Now, she suffered with tremendous back pain. As a matter of fact, she could not sit in regular chairs. She had to find a certain type of chair that was comfortable for her in order to sit in. But she said that she had gone home that night after I had ministered the word of God on forgiveness. And she went next door to her neighbor, knocked on the door, and the lady came to the door. And she told the lady, she says, I've been carrying this forgiveness in me for a long time. And I just want you to know that I forgive you, and I ask you to forgive me, and I'm sorry. And she said the moment she did that she felt the power of God go into her back, and she was instantly healed. Came back the next Wednesday and found the chairs that she normally couldn't sit in. She purposely found one and sat in it, and her back was just fine. Isn't it amazing how that, because we walk in unforgiveness, that many times it has negative effect on our bodies. Now, she wasn't forgiving. She was not fulfilling the scripture, because you know as well as I do, Mark chapter 11 verse 25 says that if you don't forgive, then your heavenly Father won't forgive you. How many of you want God to forgive you for something that you do? you come up short or you miss the mark or whatever. Sure, you want to be forgiven, right? Well, then conversely, we should learn to walk in forgiveness toward others. So in Proverbs, another scripture in Proverbs says, Proverbs 24 and verse 28 says, did I read that yet? Verse 29 says, say not, I will do, so to him as he has done to me. I will render to this man according to his works. In other words, have you ever heard anybody say, well, if you did it to me, I'm going to do it to you, and I'm going to do it worse to you. No, let's not take that position.
The Word of Victory has been brought to you by Antelope Valley Christian Center, which is pastored by Dr. Tom Pickens. We are located at 304 West Lancaster Boulevard in Lancaster. For more information about Antelope Valley Christian Center, call 661-949-7200 or visit us on the web at avccusa.org.